Chapter 11. Unanswered. There is an art to picking locks, sinner, Selene said, and a greater art to the lie of it. Tales speak of master thieves who could but whisper to a keyhole and have it open, like a drunkard's purse at last call. But in truth, lock-picking is a trickier transaction than that. It took Dior 20 agonized minutes for her tryst, the threat of a visitation of Nikita Divok hanging over her head while the sweat burned her eyes. But at last, the most beautiful musical note a thief can hear kissed the air. Click. Our moat took flight up the dungeon stair. The jailer sat yet at his desk, and though his task must have bored him witless, the man was awake, alert, an ironwood cudgel close to his branded hand. This fellow had no doubt witnessed the cost of failure in Nikita's court, and had no desire to fill a foul blood's belly. We swooped out of the gloom like a dart, and struck him full in the face, the jailer flinching and swatting at his cheek. Twisting aside, we wheeled about and hit him square in the eye. The man cursed, half rising from his stool and taking a more vicious swipe.
Fug off, lil' bastard!
We retreated, giving him a moment to settle before blurring out of the dark and slapping into his ear. The jailer rose, cuffing the air and setting his mug a wobble.
Fuggin!
He reached for his cudgel, frowning as he realized it was not where he'd left it. And turning, he found himself face to face with an ashen-haired waif, cold fury burning in her ice-blue eyes.
Wah!
His shout shattered along with his teeth, Dior catching his jaw with a north wind strike that would have made her former swordmaster proud. But spitting red, jaw hanging loose, the man grabbed Dior's throat and slammed her into the wall so hard she near blacked out. She squealed, he squeezed, possessed of all a thrall's awful speed and strength. And in the end, it was not a manoeuvre taught by the great black lion that saved Dior Lachance, but the first she'd learned on the hard streets of Lachemais. Knee met nether's with a damp crunch, the jailer's eyes bulged, and raising the man's cudgel in both hands, Dior brought it down hard onto the back of his head. She kept hitting him, blows falling like hammers onto his skull until he stopped moving. Dragging one sticky hand across his mouth, the Grail hauled the man behind his desk, tearing off his tunic to mop up the worst of his blood. Jean-Francois raised an eyebrow, quill poised over his page.
She killed him.
Not quite. But that was only his good luck. She certainly beat him viciously enough. Selene glanced across the river. Such a portrait does not match the one Gabriel painted.
Hardly, Jean-Francois replied.
Dear brother, Selene scoffed. Ever you saw only what you wished to see.
The historian glanced in the direction of the tower high above them, twirling his quill through quick fingers.
Please continue, Mademoiselle Castilla.
Dior wiped her cudgel clean, watching her hands in the jailer's mug and taking his cloak from a peg. It was a dance, then, the pair of us, our moat in front, she behind, slipping the candlelight gloom of the dun like thread through a needle's eye. But the higher we climbed, the more dangerous it became. Night was day in a vampire's lair, and while that awful auction had finished, the keep was still a hive of servants, messengers, soldiers. In the end, Dior decided to hide in plain sight. She was dressed in servant's cloth after all. Snatching a tray of mugs from a hallway table, she marched through the bustle as if meant to be there, hood pulled up over her hair, and our moat hid beneath. She slowed as she headed through the Hall of Crowns,
A familiar figure barreled through the front doors and headed right toward her, flint eyes agleam. We tapped a frantic warning on her skin, and Dior shrank back into the shadows beneath the banister. But Kane missed her entirely, storming up the great stairs six at a time and spitting bile to another fledgling beside him about that greedy bitch, Chiara. The Grail backed off farther, waiting for Kane to pass overhead. But heart agallop, eyes still on the headsman instead of where she walked, she bumped into another figure hidden in the shadows under the stair, dropping her tray with a crash.
Mother Maid, forgive me, she said, stooping to retrieve the mugs. I didn't...
Dior's heart stilled as she looked up into the figure's eyes, her own gone wide.
Joaquin,
she whispered. All was undone, and I cursed myself a fool, knowing now she was caught. The hound boy of Avalane stood before her, staring her right in the face, unmistakable. Dior's jaw clenched as she waited for his inevitable cry of alarm, the descent of the guards, the return to her cell. But the handsome lad only knelt and busied himself with the spilled mugs, helping stack them on Dior's tray before rising back to his feet.
God go with you, mademoiselle, he whispered.
The Grail blinked at that, glancing at Chiara's mark atop his head. But the hound boy only cast a furtive glance about them and with a nod slipped off through the shadows. Sheened with sudden sweat, Dior could only follow as we took to the wing, leading her on through the bustling dun. She walked as if she belonged, past the copper-dark reek of the Hall of Plenty, the hustle and stink of the chateau kitchens, and finally out into the bitter, biting cold. And there she stopped suddenly, breath stolen clean from her lungs. A pit lay before her, 50 foot at the square, the devil only knew how deep, and it was filled with human bones, men and women and children, all tumbled together and blanketed nowhere near heavy enough with snow. Great piles of discarded clothing stood beside it, too vast, too high, too much to look at. The leavings of countless stolen lives, parents and offspring, lovers and friends, once alive with light and hope, and now this.
Oh God, Dior whispered. Oh sweet Mother Maid.
We beat upon her cheek, frantic that she move. To be discovered here would cost everything, and there would be time enough for grief come the dawn. Dior made the sign of the wheel, whispering a soft prayer. Then she pawed at her eyes, clenched her jaw, turning her back on that pit, that abyss, that yawning mouth to hell. And onward she marched. The ironworks stood nearby, and the night was aglow with the light of Divok forges. A stone well stood in the shadow of the ramparts ahead, leading directly down to the sewers, easy access for servants tossing night soil from the dun. The well was covered by an iron grate, secured by a heavy lock, but we knew Dior could make short work of that. Crouching in the shadows, trying to ignore the fiendish stench drifting up from below, the sight of that mountain of discarded clothes, Dior pulled out her trusty hairpin. A scream rang in the night, the sound of some maid in the city beyond, suffering only God knew what fate. The Grail looked out through the gatehouse toward the shadows of Altun. All those poor souls trapped between the high bloods in this dun and the foul bloods in Newton beyond. No hope of escape. No fate but that awful pit.
I'll be back, she whispered. I'll come back for all of you, I promise.
We knew there was naught she could do for any of them. Isla, Aaron, little Mila. That to tarry here was to risk everything. And her alley-born pragmatism might have seen her through,
had she not glanced at the last toward the ironworks. Because there, silhouetted in forge fire, she saw a man, broad of shoulder and mahogany of skin, his body glistening with sweat as he pounded at an anvil. A man who'd stood up for her when few in this world would, a man who'd risked his city to save her, and then lost it anyway. Baptiste! Tap, 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 tap. Dior glanced to the padlock, back to the black thumb wreathed in flames. I could... Tap, 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 tap. He can't be thralled after only two nights. I can't just leave him like this, Selene. Tap, 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 tap. She brushed us away, heedless, and slipping down the chateau's flank, she carefully stole toward the smithy. The building was good stone, its roof tiled, the air around it blissfully warm. Hood pulled low, soundless. Dior stole through the rear door, into the shadows around the forge's light. The smithy was busy, men in its forecourt stacking armor and blades in long racks. But Baptiste was the only soul actually at work in the forge, his face lined with exhaustion, shadows carved under his eyes. He wore a leather apron and heavy gloves, no shirt, bright sweat gleaming on dark skin. Dior crept closer, swatting us aside as we battered her cheek, furious and helpless. Baptiste, she whispered. The black thumb paid no mind, pounding hammer to anvil and thumbing the sweat from his brow. We realized he was forging sets of fresh manacles. Baptiste, Dior hissed, louder. The big man glanced up and saw her in the gloom, shock and wonder and fear all crossing his features in the space of a single heartbeat. He opened his mouth to speak, but she pressed finger to lips, eyes wild with warning. Baptiste glanced about him, shifting nearer and pretending to busy himself with the coals.
Sweet mother maid, child, what are you doing here?
He breathed.
Getting the fuck out, and you're coming with me.
He paused at that, handsome brow darkening. He threw a wary glance to the men stacking the weapons, the courtyard beyond, the dun looming into the dark.
What about?
I don't know where Aaron is, she said, eyes pleading. But Gabe's sister is nearby. She's hurt now, but when she's well, she'll be stronger than all these bastards. We can come back for Aaron. Come back for every one of them, I promise, but we have to go now.
He looked at her, tormented.
But how would we leave?
There's a well by the chateau that opens into the sewers, and from there to the ocean. We can pick our way along the cliffs to the shore.
The black thumb glanced back to the keep, torn to his very soul.
Please, Baptiste, Dior begged. Aaron told me to get you out if I could. I can't save them all tonight, but if I can, at least save you.
The man hung his head, a storm cloud now gathered at his brow. He dragged one gloved hand across his scalp, face twisted with anguish, and I could feel Dior's pulse hammering beneath her skin as she watched him fighting that war within. His blood versus his heart, his love versus his life. But finally, the smith of Avalane won some bitter inner victory, heaving a sigh and looking to the girl in the shadows.
Let me get dressed. I'll meet you by the well, cherie.
She grinned bright, swiftly smothered by their peril.
I'll get it unlocked. Be quick.
Soundless, she turned, slipping into the night. We flew before her, spinning desperate spirals to bid her move quicker. Through the flickering gloom, she stole back down the chateau's flank, ducking into the shadows as two soldiers walked the battlements overhead. Crouching in the evil stench of night soil, glancing once more to that awful pit of bones, she drew out her hairpin and set to. Again, the lockwork was no magic trick, no quick twist and pop, but a dance of tumbler and iron and trembling fingers. Tap, tap. She fumbled with the pin, hands shaking, breath steaming. Tap, 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 tap. I'm hurrying, Dior hissed. If you've nothing useful to do, say me a prayer. Tap, 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 tap. Fine advice, little mouse. Dior whirled to look behind her, the blood draining from her face. There, silhouetted against the forge fire, loomed a half dozen figures, Chiara at their fore. The wolf mother glowered, fists clenched, eyes agleam. But best pray for yourself, I wager. The Grail scowled at the wolf mother, the scorched gathered around her. Despite the odds, Dior slipped the jailer's cudgel free from her cloak and took up her Northwind stance. But more thrall swords came through the servant's door now, others gathering on the battlements above, and the Grail's breath caught as their lanterns illuminated a figure behind Chiara. A man. A man who'd stood up for her when few in this world would. A man who'd risked his city to save her, and then lost it anyway. And now, lost himself besides. Baptiste, she breathed. Oh, no. I'm sorry, he said. Forgive me, chérie. His voice was a burning whisper, tears shining as he covered his face with shaking hands. He'd removed the heavy smith's gloves he'd been wearing in the ironworks, and Dior's shoulders sagged as she saw Chiara's brand upon his skin. But we've only been here 2 nights, she whispered. My blood touched his lips long before that, Chiara smiled. I near killed him when I killed his man at Avalonsea. He fell into a fury to watch his Arran fall, almost took my head off with his bare hands. I had to feed him afterward to heal the thrashing I gave him, lest all this muscle be wasted. But we've put it to good use the last 2 nights, he and I. He doesn't miss his Arran at all anymore. The wolf mother ran her hand over Baptiste's head, drummed her fingers over his stubbled scalp. Is that not truth, pretty one? That is truth. Baptiste hung his head, tears spilling down his cheeks. Mistress. The cudgel slipped from Dior's grip, and the fight melted from her bones. Chiara's hand fell on her shoulder, heavy as lead, hard as iron, and the Grail sank to her knees, tears frozen on her cheeks as she looked to the empty skies above. Oh, Gabe, she whispered. Where are you?